You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode 47.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest people in voiceover. If you'd like to know a little bit more about me, feel free to visit my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have a very, very good friend of mine, the amazing and versatile Jace Patrick. Jace Patrick is a multi-award-winning voice actor in Los Angeles, California. He is known as the voice of Daibo in Netflix's Scissor 7, Dynamike in Brawl Stars, Thunder McQueen in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stone Ocean, Baz in Cloudpunk, Sir Sandington Set in Smite, a playable character in Chivalry 2, and the brand voice for the PGA Tour's Live Under Par campaign, to name just a few. In this episode, we talk about musicality in voiceover, the career tipping point, the drive of an entrepreneur, and what really makes or breaks a voiceover artist. So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Weak and creamy and organic, like most Californians.
Organic?
You know, it's the oat milk I put in it. It's basically coffee flavored water. It's garbage, but I like it because it's a little bit of a ritual and it smells nice. And I don't know, I suppose what little caffeine I get, because I don't really drink caffeine. I mean, you've met me.
You're right.
You're pretty up too. So I don't know if that's coffee induced, but I'm just naturally kind of, you know, so.
Right. Is it just like a personal thing? Is it like a voiceover related thing where you don't want to dry yourself out or be too jittery or?
Sure. Yeah. All of the above. Yeah. I don't drink cold water. That's mainly. You know, I don't drink anything cold. I never put ice in anything except beer, you know, yeah. But as I don't really drink much anymore.
Nope, not at all.
I'll have a little bit. I don't teetotal. I love a nice glass of red wine and maybe a nice old fashioned or a good, Guinness. Love Guinness.
Yeah.
So, I do still enjoy drinking beer, but when I discovered, non-alcoholic beer, It was like, wow, I can pound these like I'm still a musician and I don't feel bad the next day. And I can be the guy that goes to the gym in the morning at the convention. So, and I got a lot of praise for that. I was the only one that I knew in my group. Everybody else was waking up like, oh, dude, I'm dying. So I got to lord that over them for once. I was always the one. How's the level, by the way? Do you more or less? Or?
Great. Perfect.
Awesome.
Levels are awesome.
Sweet, sweet.
So how did you get started in the world of voiceover?
I went to the crossroads and I met this pointy-eared gentleman, pointy
horned. Did he have a long robe?
No, he kind of looked like a car salesman. No, it's I was a musician. and I had, I made my own albums and I played everything on my albums except for bass. I would write the part in my head, but I just didn't have the, you know, bass really, you want a good technique and have it nice and smooth. And the attack needs to be the same on the right hand. So you have people that don't play bass, you can hear the attack kind of you know, it's very varied. And if you're being a persnickety perfectionist and you're not playing punk rock or something like that, where you want it really raw, anything smooth, groovy or whatever, you really want that consistency of attack for a bass player, from a real bass player. So I would write out the part or most of the part or have an idea of the part or example of the part. And I would have this pro bass player that I played with back in my touring days come in, but I played everything else. And so I needed a fairly sizable studio. I needed lots of toys and mics, and had a mic locker that would, you know, that was pretty damn respectable. And so I had all that, and I was being a pro musician and touring and stuff on weekends. I had an office job that I'd had for about 12 years. And then we were looking at maybe buying a house, and I asked for a raise and he let me go, bastard. but now I need to thank him, because he, you know, I made such a career out of it after that. But Vicky said, well, now you're a full-time musician, you know, we're not going to just do it on weekends. So I did that, you know, it was about a year and some change. Mm-hmm. And it was killing me. I'd drive 10 hours to Ohio. And this is when I was in Nashville, like 10 hours to Ohio one way. You know, you have to load up all the gear, drive the 10 hours, get there, unload the gear at the hotel, get a rest, eat some food, whatever, load the gear back up, go to the show, unload the gear, play the show 4 to 6 hours for 5 to 20 to 30, 40 people, you know, 10 people, whatever it was, get paid a pittance, you know, if we're being Dickensian about it, and load the stuff back up, go back to the hotel, unload the stuff, sleep for a couple of hours, load it back up, and then go to either the next show or home. And as you can imagine, that sucks.
That sounds taxing.
It's awful. It's a terrible way to live. And I played everything. I was playing an instrument called a farmer foot drum. And okay, do you know it? It's, yes. It's allows you to play snare, mm-hmm. Kick and hat at the same time, open and close it. So you're doing a heel toe thing with mm-hmm. both feet. And then I'd play my Strat and sing. And I, every show you do 80, 90 songs myself, you know, which in itself is taxing. 4 to 5 hours just by yourself without anybody playing any leads or anything to, you know, stretch it out. It was a real pain. Yeah. we'll keep it clean. I have plenty of choice cuss words for what it was, but yeah, it was sheer misery. So I got real tired, but we started to make a little bit of an impression. We started to get festival shows and things like that. But at the same time, my pro engineer who helped me build my studio and Vicky both started to say, you should do voiceover, because I would do ridiculous things on the mic with, you know, when we were recording, like I loved, it used to creep out my engineer all the time. And cause I'd get on the mic and go, what are you wearing? I'm gonna come over there and see what you're wearing if you don't tell me, you know, that's just really awful stuff like that.
Right.
Cause we're family. And right. he hated it and would throw off the cans like, stop doing that. And of course, doing like, you know, ghetto gangster Yoda and just things like that, just being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, you're actually pretty good at these accents. And cause I could do a very authentic sounding accent. It was just because I found that I have an empathetic ear from all my years of being a musician. I can hear something and reproduce it. I'm not a voice match person though. I'm terrible. You know, I can't make myself sound like other people, but I can take that idea of what they do, their cadence, their general kind of timbre, their delivery, their attitudes and emotions. And I can just hear it and pretty much do it. So I was able to really, you know, kind of fake it until you make it kind of thing. We can get to that in a little while, but, so they were telling me that, and I just, for whatever reason, listened. And Vicky said, you know, you should try it. And then she found, it was really neat. She knew someone from her college or high school who wrote, I always want to say TED Talk, but that's not right. It was some sort of article that was in a big thing. And it was about this woman on Fiverr who made $100,000 on Fiverr. And she was doing it from her home in a voice, you know. So there was this whole internet thing that we didn't know anything about. Now, I personally have never been on Fiverr. I'm not judging if you are or anything like that. It just never got on it. But she found after that voices.com, you know, and this was back when it wasn't quite the, you know, naughty word that it is these days. Right. But so we went through and I listened to every podcast I could find, you know, Robert Paulson's. I listened to all of his stuff, which was all celebrity stuff. So it's very different than what probably you and I do, you know, right. Because, you know, I think of myself, I mean, highly successful, but, you know, still a middle-class voiceover, mm-hmm. you know, a voice actor. Shout out to Kilpatrick and Bobby Maxwell, because they're amazing classes they teach. That idea of a middle-class, working-class VO, I love that, because you can take so much goodness from that. Sorry, I know they're another podcast. I don't think you guys are competition, though. It's very, very different, but... anyway, so being a working class VO and all that sort of thing. So I listened to Bill DeWeese had about 200 videos on YouTube that were free.
Yeah,
I listened to damn near
putting out information. It's awesome.
I listened to damn near all of them. So you newbies out there, go find them, listen to them, learn.
Yeah,
you know, don't just come to Andrew or somebody else and say, "How do I do it?"
And my favorite thing about Bill DeWeese is he's like, if this is, if it's say a subject like when he did radio imaging, he's like, I don't do radio imaging, but I want to be able to put that information out there. So he'll find somebody else that is prolific at it. And
I listened to you interviewed him, right? That was you? Yeah. That was the first one I listened to of your stuff. Yeah. I was like, and he's so much more articulate than I am.
Yeah.
He's, you don't have to agree with that.
Well, I was agreeing that he's more articulate than I am as well. He's a very he has a articulate bar that we cumulatively have not reached.
No, he was great. He was interesting to listen to, and that was another thing that kept me interested was he had, you know, his stuff was interesting listening to his videos. So I would walk Seamus and listen, and I mean, when I wasn't in the studio, also. New folks, don't do this. I was making all my own demos at the time. And I made about 170 of them, just everything different, little whatever I could think of, every accent I could think of, every way to do a commercial I could think of. But the whole time I was doing it, I was getting practice. And, you know, so I was practicing and all that sort of thing. And then Vicky brought in, I was doing it on the Thriller mic, the SMB or SM8, whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about, the broadcast mic.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing it on those, and it sounded good. I had my engineer who was, a house engineer over at Blackbird in Nashville, and he was, you know, helped me build my studio. So we had fantastic preamps and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we dialed it in, so it sounded really good. But then Vicky went and did some research and she found the industry standard, you know, one of the two, as you all know.
Right.
And so she bought me my TLM 103. And so I had to go back and redo all the demos that I'd made, which yet was more practice. And the whole time I'm listening to Bill DeWeese and voices.com had a whole bunch of little podcasts and things you could listen to and read about. So I immersed myself in everything VO for 3 months, and the whole time I'm making demos and practicing, getting it set up, learning. And then so I pulled the trigger a few days, because my first job was July 4th, Independence Day, and it was my sixth day of auditioning. So I booked my first job 6 days in, and I never looked back. And my favorite about this, and people who have heard me in other podcasts and stuff have heard this story, but I love this because it was just so great. And I was so happy and so proud of this. Vicky said, you only need to make $500 a month to break even on bills. And if you can get that consistently, you know, obviously you're going to want to ramp up and stuff. So we understand. I made about almost $2,800 that first month. So I was full time from jump, and I just went like this, you know. So that first year I hit those fabled numbers that everybody, you hear everybody shilling on there. And then from there, I just kept, you know, it would like a huge jump, and then it was a little jump, and then another huge jump, and then another big jump. So it's like, I've just gone like this the whole time. And the only thing I can attribute it to is I work my ass off, you know, and I have a read, you know. We could talk about reads later, you know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to have a read. And I've said this before, and it's really funny, because it's like whenever I do something like a podcast or I talk to people, it's like I lose 90% of the new people audience or more. And then I get like one person will come up and go, wow, you demystified the thing. You told the truth. You didn't sugarcoat it. And it, you know, because I think a lot of people, when they come to me and they ask me something, and I give them the truth, you know, this is the real deal, you know. And not that I'm shilling anything anybody isn't, but I just don't sugarcoat it, you know. It's like, you know, it's not for everybody.
It's not.
Not everybody can do it. Well, not only that, but not everybody can do it. They can't read, you know. You wouldn't be surprised if some, you know, if all of a sudden everyone was like, I want to be an NBA player. And it's like, you're 5'1" and you can't jump. Right. You got bad feet. How are you going to be an NBA player? You know, NBA coach or something, maybe, you know. But it's again, it's not to be cocky or mean or anything like that, but it's like, you have to be realistic. And the big realistic thing is you have to be able to read, because all the rest of it, because you can be a VO if you're, you know, 5'1", knock-kneed and can't run, you know. That's the great thing about it. You know, it's everyone can try it. I think that's where we get it wrong, because a lot of people say everybody can do it. No, everybody can try it, and some people can succeed. Because then you have to have the business, you know, you have to start your own business. The taxes alone, you know, doing that stuff, you know, is mind-boggling. You know what I mean? Running a business is a pain in the ass.
Yeah. You know?
But you just don't hear that. And you know, and I'm listen, it's a kinder, more gentle world than when we were younger, you know. And people are, you know, by and large, try to, in some ways it's a lot meaner, but you know, people, you do see people trying to be inclusive with, you know, everyone should be able, everyone should have a chance and all this kind of thing. It's like, cool. Yeah, I mean, I guess in the broadest sense, just about everybody could book something, but make a living at it, That's a different, you know. So, and I feel you just, you know, I'll sum up. Sorry, I'm talking too much.
No, you're fine. And I think the anyone can do it is not necessarily aimed at the business aspect of it, but more to break down that wall of you need the voice to be a voice actor. I think that's more, whenever I hear that anyone can do it, that's more of what I'm hearing.
I'm kind of, what do they say? Like the tiger dad or something like that. Like if I want to help someone, I want them to succeed. Right. I want them to make it. I don't want them to go, oh, you know, and then, you know, fizzle or, you know, bottom feed, as they say, and take jobs that you know, for $5 or something that they should be making at least 100 or 200 or something like that. You just want them to succeed. And I don't know. I think it does people a disservice to not tell them that, look, there's you know, you could make more, and in all likelihood will, at that other job. Because, oh, it was so illustrative of this. Karen Guilfrey, I believe. I've got her last name right.
Yep.
Oh man, that was amazing information she had. And it should be required viewing. You should have to sit in a room and look at that chart for like 5 minutes before you can ask the first question about VO. Because it's really, it's so illustrative, because it's like more than 50% of voice actors don't make like $5,000 or six or eight grand or whatever it was.
It was 80%. Hold on, I actually have it written down.
Oh, it's fantastic. But then when you look at the people, because they see the thing, and I wish she had put the numbers, because she said it in the class, but it's not on the chart. Is like people above 150,000, there were only 66, you know. It's insane how few can get up there and make that, you know. And it's
in my other notebook, but yeah, it was like 80% don't make above $6,000.
It's it's really something, and that's what I don't want for anybody. That's why I've mentored one person and then kind of had a conversation with another, and I felt bad because I didn't think either one of them, like, I didn't help them. And then one of them at VO Atlanta, you know, told me, wow, I still think about that conversation every day. It may, you know, or a lot, or whatever that person said. Mm-hmm. And it had made a difference in that person's life. And I felt so good because I was like, oh, good. I didn't fail. I didn't, you know, just tell someone. And then the other person ended up coming to VO Atlanta this time. And lo and behold, I got to get this person in with a couple of people that I just happened to know. It was very organically happened. And I felt so great about that. And now this person has came back, desired to work, and has been working and is doing all right. And I checked with one of their coaches and said, you know, other than the startup woes that just about everybody has, a little stiff read or something like that. Mm-hmm. This person is, you know, this, my coach told me, but not my coach, but my coach friend said, yeah, this person's going to do just fine as long as they work and those, you know, work out the bugs. And I was like, hot damn, that's great. I've now helped two people. I'm retired. No more. That's it.
No more charity work.
No, but I don't know. I got bummed out, you know, because people like from high school or something. I've been meaning to do this. You know the lines. I've been meaning to do this. I'm getting into my kids doing, my kid wants to. And then they hit you up and you tell them something. You know, here's the, read this, learn that, go to that. And they're just like, some of them don't even say thank you, which is like rude, but I don't like rudeness. But the other thing is they're like, oh, okay, well, thanks, I guess, you know, or something. And it's like, well, what do you want me to do? Right. I don't understand what you think is going to happen. I give you this information. I tell you, you know, Bill Deweese and this one and that one and this coach and all these things, you know, and nothing, you know, I don't know what they expect. It's really
without the tenacity.
It's really strange, you know, because it's like, well, if you came to me and said, how do I start a restaurant? And I'm like, well, you have to get a fry cooker. And they're like, oh, I have to buy stuff. Right. You'd be like, well, yeah. I mean, how are you going to cook the burgers without a griddle, dude?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Sounds like I'm complaining and I don't mean it to be a complaint, but it's just, I, you know, you feel bad because you want to help people. You want to say something nice. Right. And I guess I just, it's been so prevalent. I've seen it on Twitter and all these things like that. And you see all this kind of stuff like, you know, oh, just come on in, everybody. It's going to work. You know, it's going to be amazing. You know, you're going to be Link on Zelda and you're going to, you know, you'll be on Bob's Burgers in no time. And right. It's just like, well, no,
that's
not really how it works. You know, I mean, you know, even the celebs, you know, the celeb VOs, they're not Link and they've only been like a minor character on Bob's Burgers. You know what I mean? It's very funny. I got a funny story about that really quick. In my MMA school in Nashville, it got out that I was a voice actor, and this guy comes up to me. He said, again, this age old chestnut here. Oh yeah, I was going to do that. No, you weren't, but okay, sure. He's like, yeah, I don't want to do it for a living. I just want to do like a line or two on Bob's Burgers. And my reaction before I could stop myself was like, yeah, I just want to pitch an inning in the World Series. You know, just I don't want to go through AAA ball or, you know, the minors or, you know,
I just want to do like one thing for Disney, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's like, yeah. And again, you know, Tara Strong and all these people, they do one little thing for Disney. They're not, you know, Princess Jasmine and all the rest of it. You know, they do little bit parts, you know, hey, and that's it. Thank you. You're done.
Thanks. Here's your check.
Bye. You know, right. It's really weird. It's such a strange business we're in because everyone thinks it's easy, that they could do it. They should be doing it. You know, no, it's like, oh yeah, I don't want a real job. I could do this voice acting thing. And you do see some unscrupulous. Now, this, I have no coaches I know personally, and this isn't anyone I, you know, but you do come across, and I'll see it in the VO groups, and they'll say, look out for this person or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you too could make six figures and, you know, in your underwear 2 hours a week. And it's like, maybe if you're Joe Cipriano, right. You know, you know, but even he's got the golden handcuffs. You know, if you talk to him for 5 minutes, he'll tell you, it's like, I gotta go. They just called, you know, yep. I gotta go. It's pretty wild.
Yep. He makes the running joke that his golden handcuffs prevent him from ever taking his wife out to dinner.
Oh man. I tell you, I do a lot of e-learning, so I have handcuffs and they're pretty golden for me, but it's not quite as bad as promo or automotive or something.
Right.
Those are like, it's not even, it's like a leg chain. It's a little more intense than what I have, but it does suck. Cause you know, I mean, it's amazing. I know poor working voice actor, but, it sucks when you really do. It's like, man, I need a break. You know, I'd love to go back over to London or something. It's like, okay, well, you got to schlep your gear to London, you know, and it's a bummer. You know, we got around it because we actually just rented a studio. We kind of pulled a JMC, I think is where Vicky got it. But we told people, okay, we're in the studio from this to this in London. Make sure you have, if you need anything. So I was just in there and I took out, you know, four or five or six client stuff. And then I was able to. You know, and they still write you, you know,
right.
Can you do that? No, I'm still in London, but right. Yeah. Anyway.
So at what point did you make that jump from moving to Nashville to LA and why? Like, was that just to be in the hub where everything was going on, or was that just a personal choice?
Yes and yes. I think it's kind of similar I think, unless I'm hearing it wrong. I love cartoons. I love video games. I love, you know, anime and things like that. And it was like, if I didn't take the shot, you know, what was the point? I'm an ambitious boy. I like to climb the ladder. I like to see how far I can push it. I want to get in more things, you know? And so if you want to do those things, you have to be out here in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know they put some things out, but I see a lot of people upset. It's like, oh, they're trying to go back in the studios, you know? And yeah, I mean, I get it. You want a remote record, especially if you're, you know, have an immunocompromised, your immune system is compromised, and things like that, or you have a disability that you can't get out. And I mean, that's completely understandable. And I agree with that. I'm not weighing in on one side or the other, but you do have to remember that there's an entrenched studio system out here, you know? There's a lot of people that make a living, you know, that if they, you know, they need to make a living too. So it's difficult, you know, and you hear both sides, and then you hear the production side wants to be sympathetic in some cases to the other. And then you see, you know, so as with all life, there's a give and take and there's two sides, you know, so it's, I don't want to weigh in on anything. I don't have anything to add other than it's just, you know, we yell at the other person a lot these days. And it's, you know, it's also kind of like, you know, they also have a side, you know, and obviously within reason. I don't mean every political thing is like, you should listen to both sides, which, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, within reason, but I mean, you know, we're all just people and we all want to raise our families and make money and have a business and take a damn vacation once in a while. But okay, so Nashville. Well, I had a manager at the time, mm-hmm. and we talked, and she said something that was really wise, at least we thought, mm-hmm. which was, no debt, stuff paid off, plenty of money in the bank, making real money, like real money, and that's the way to go to LA, you know, when you've got clients and stuff. In other words, go to LA when you don't have to go to LA. And for a while I made the joke. It's like, yeah, I could be doing this anywhere on a beach in Tahiti, as long as I had a quiet room and a good mic and a good good internet connection.
Right.
We did that, you know, we hit it and we hit it way faster than she thought. I remember her going, whoa, you're already to that, you know, that number that we said. And it was like, yeah, we overshot it actually. And she was like, well, then yeah, I got no. And then we, you know, I did some things with some coaches, you know, Everett was fun. And I was in a class and with him, and we were talking, and he was telling me I was ready. You know, he's like, yeah, you need to get out in LA, do it, you know? And somebody else asked, and this was horrible, but he wasn't ready, this particular person. And, you know, and so it was like this, and couldn't make him understand what it was. And it was because he hadn't built up his other business yet. It wasn't that he wasn't good. It doesn't really matter that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, and if you're 20, it's different. You know, you're going to live with roommates and all this other kind of stuff, and yeah, go for it. You know, I mean, but if you're not, you know, this person was quite a bit older than I am, you know, and I'm not 20, you know, so it was just that kind of thing. You have to think it's very expensive out here, and you have to, you know, you have to do what's best to whatever. 'Cause I have another friend who's really, really not doing well because he's just beating his head against this wall, and he's older than me again, and he's getting so despondent and down, you know, and it's really sad to see. And it's like, you know, but you can do this other thing, because, you know, he's quite accomplished as far as like degrees and stuff. He has, you know, work. He could be, he's just suffering this whole time. And I was like, how long have you been doing it? It's like, oh, about 20 years. And it's like, whew, dude, you know, it might be time to read that writing. You know, I always try to tell myself what I do is the NFL. You know, the minute you get an injury, you're not, you know what I mean? So I try to be as realistic about it as I possibly can. You know, I mean, it's not forever. There will be changes. I mean, if you had this, well, you have a very beautiful voice, but you know, the big announcer types, you know, those dudes got hit. You know, yeah. Because all of a sudden that, you know, if they couldn't make a believable read, the authentic read and all this sort of thing, you see a lot of them, and a lot of them, you know, they're online and they're embittered, they're angry, you know, and it's like, wow, keep growing, always grow. That's, you know, the point of this little tale here. You make me talk too much. You have this, well, you have this open face. You're just making me, I feel like I'm on Barbara Walters or something.
Well, speaking of that growth, when you were doing that ramp up, how were you doing your marketing, and how did you start looking for voiceover jobs? And then how did that develop to how do you market now?
Well, marketing is a developing thing as we speak. We're working on getting a more, a better system. Because we have not up to this point really had that great of a system for it. I've been lucky, very much so, I guess. I mean, again, I say lucky in a weird way because I work really hard. You know, I mean, I do think there's some, like, it was lucky Vicky read that thing that her friend wrote about the Fiverr lady. Right. It was lucky that I had, you know, the stuff, but the gear. But a lot of it also is, you know, you bust your ass and you can make more opportunities, you know, that's the thing. So for me, I very quickly kind of got that. There's that book, I've never read it, but Vicky loves it. It's called The Tipping Point. You know, it's like you work to a certain point and then all of a sudden it starts to build its own momentum. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. Snowballing effect is another way to think of it. But right. I got repeat clients because I was good. I was versatile. I was very, very professional, very, very polite and fun to work with. You know, if you're on a session, have fun, smile, enjoy yourself, make a little joke. Okay, theater kids, keep it within reason. You know, don't, hello, we're doing, you know, an oil commercial. You know, I mean, you know, just tone it down. So.
Right.
But you can still make a little joke and be friendly to them and let them know, hey, man, I got you. Because, you know, a lot of these folks come in and they may try to sound like they're Scorsese, but they don't know what they're doing. They're you know, accountants in some cases. And Martin, not that there's anything wrong with accountants, but you know what I mean? They don't have a background in film and video production and all the rest of it. Some of them are just doing it in-house. So they're young in the marketing team. They're, you know, they haven't been in it very long, so they're trying to justify their position, and you can hear them, and they're really like, "Frank, it's okay, I got you. We're gonna take care of this." Just good affirmation speak, and nail it, and be ready to go when they're like, "Okay, ready." Don't go like, "Okay, hang on." You know, just hit it. Just relax and be there and ready to go. And I'm sorry if this is your thing. You know, I get it. You know, you want to get in the moment and stuff, but you know, you don't have to get in a moment to sell a hamburger too much, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just me, but I don't know. Be there for them. Be the absolute best you can be and solve their problem. They need a VO that's going to nail this thing, and they need to nail it fast, you know? So be ready, go in there and kick ass and make them happy. And then they come back. Maybe it's only once a year, but they come back, and that's the tipping point. Starts to snowball. So for me, I had a lot of repeat business, just even from early on, just people that came back and was like, "Oh, can you do this? And can you do that? And will you do this?" And yep. And before I knew it, that's just why it went like this, is because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the 2800 turns into 5, turns into 8, turns into 12, turns into 20, you know, and it just goes on. And obviously it goes like this, as you well know, you know, but before you know it, you're like, "Oh shit, I'm that six figure guy they talk about, or that six figure lady they talk about, or whatever," you know? And then you're one of the 66 in Karin's, you know, and then it's like, "Holy shit, dude," you know? And it's an amazing thing, but you can do it. I think it was JMCS, and he said, if you're 50 or 60, how do you get to 350 or something like that?" And I was like, "I don't know, work harder." You know, it's a strange question to me, because nothing against JMC's question. I mean, it's a good question, but it's an odd question, because the answer is at that point simple. If you're making 50 grand and you have bandwidth, you're not just, you know, every second of every day, and you only book a little bit, but you just make, you know what I mean? If it's super hard to make 50, and yeah, that's my pinnacle, that's all I can do.
Right.
Then what you need to do at that point is coach, or get a better read, or get more arsenal, get more tools in your toolbox, or maybe that's just your ceiling. It's a good living, 50 grand a year. I mean, it's all right, depending on where you live in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got more people making money in the household. But if you can make that, and you've got plenty of time, and you're taking long leisurely walks, and you know, and you're watching 6 hours of Netflix a day, and you know, you're on Warcraft for, you know, for every right. night, then you've got more bandwidth, and you can make more. But it's up to you. I mean, what do you want to make? What's good for you? You know, I know plenty of VOs that are like, "Dude, I make X, and then the rest of the time I paint, or I ride my motorcycle, or I go to the beach," and they're cool with that. And that's what they want. They're not interested in, you know, I have this demon in my head that's like, "Whoosh, whoosh, go farther, farther, farther," you know, but I have a lot to prove to head demons. You know, it's like it's me driving me. So you don't have to, you know, and a monetary thing is not necessarily worth, you know, it's hard to learn when you're someone like me, but I try to, you know, I base my worth a lot of times on what do I bring? I'm only as good as what I bring to other people. You know, it's not healthy, you know, should value myself better, but it's, I don't know. It's made me successful. So, I mean, you know, it's the idea now is to try to do well and then maybe get some more work-life balance and stop killing myself, you know, but, marketing. My SEO helped, because I have a lot of tools in my toolbox, people would come to me and find things that they, you know, that doesn't mean make a whole bunch of demos that you're terrible at and that you can't do. Don't promise something. Oh man, I've seen these on Twitter a lot, the casting people talking about it. Don't promise something you can't deliver. Right. You know, "Oh yeah, I can do a Scandinavian accent." And then you get in there and it's like, you know, don't do that. It's you'll blacklist yourself and you won't even know why, you know? Mm-hmm. So never promise something you can't deliver. But, you know, the more tools you have and all that, it just created more opportunities. I made the most of those opportunities. So I got repeat business. I continued to work hard and audition and bring in, you know, whatever I could. And now, even now, people would say, "Well, where more, you know, what more can you do, Jace? You're already killing it." It's like, well, now I'm going to work on that weak spot I have, which is marketing. I'm not doing as well there, you know. Might be looking to hire an assistant for you. Virtual assistants out there. But I think I'm probably going to talk with Bridge about that.
Yeah.
Because she's starting up a pretty cool business with that. I hope that's not hush hush. I don't think it is.
No, it's not hush hush. They are launching it in this upcoming month, either May or June.
Well, they've got a genius business model. I wish I'd have thought of it. I think I might have thought of it, but it was like Vicky and I. Well, I think Vicky and I were talking about something like that, but it was like, because Vicky was rather coveted. We had a bunch of VOs coming to Vicky and like, would you do, you know, what you do for Jay? And she's like, she had to tell him, it's like, I'm not creating business for him. You know, I'm creating time. You know, it's a difference, you know. So it's, I don't know. You know, it was a good idea, but I think Bridge with her with Kayla and Miranda, I believe I got her name right, right? Miranda?
Miranda.
Yeah. Yeah. Miranda. Sorry, Miranda. Sorry, Miranda. I only met you once. You're very cool though. Keep doing what you're doing. No, those three together, and I think it might be more, is like Lynn's involved too, or I'm not really sure. But it's a great idea, and you know, it's definitely something once you get to a certain point, having someone to help is worth it. You know, I remember I was in that Karin thing, her breakout in VO Atlanta, and Christy Bowen, her assistant was in there, and she said, do you mind us asking what you do for Christy? And she was like, and I was like, wow. Think of all the time and you know, and wow, amazing. That could be helpful to me and Vicky, you know.
So where were you initially looking for those opportunities so that way you could get into the room to make those good impressions?
In the beginning, pay to play, same as most working class people start off, you know. And then I converted them to my customers and, you know, and whatever else. And then that started to build up. I would continue to put, as I did them, jobs that I finished, I'd put it up, and then you'd have all these different SEO terms and things. So then people started coming to me, word of mouth, LinkedIn, people coming, going, oh, you know, Andrew, you did so-and-so for him. I want you to do so-and-so for me. And it just got around, and man. And like I said, I just audition when I've got time and stuff that comes in, and I work with my regular customers and my regular clients. And then of course, you know, whatever my agents send me, but again, new folks, agents are not a cure all. You will get some auditions. You have to prove yourself to them. Mm-hmm. And if you are not ready and they send you some auditions and you blow it, you did yourself such a disservice. So don't race to the agent, because you're not just going to get on an agency and all of a sudden make six figures. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Especially not now. Commercials don't pay what they did even 5 years ago. You know, the rates are going like this, you know, they seem to be kind of like this now, but there's no telling, you know, with more and more people coming in that, you know, if they're not getting trained properly and they're not having the reads and all that sort of thing, if they hire lower and these people are desperate to take, you know, those low rates, then it's just going to continue to go like this. And then you're doing yourself a big disservice, because then you're going to be competing against higher tier stuff, all going for the same, gobbling up all the same food, you know, and it's just, you're not going to beat somebody you're not going to beat GMC. Right. You know, you're not going to beat, you know, whomever, if you don't have the chops, not even close. So it behooves you and everyone to be as good as you can be. That's what I'm trying to evangelize now, is really, really, really be good. You know, be a great VO. Practice, damn it. You know, I overheard in VO Atlanta, seems like you might have been around. I don't know.
What did you hear?
It was about audiobooks. Somebody was saying, and I heard somebody say, you know, oh, are you reading out loud? And the person went, oh, should I be doing that?
Oh,
audiobooks? Yeah. It's like, yes, you should be reading out loud. You should be reading out loud 2 hours a day. I mean, what do you think you're going to do in an audiobook situation? You know, you don't read for 5 minutes and they go, hey, thanks, that was amazing. You know, if they do, you screwed up.
Right.
you are way terrible, and you just, yeah. But yeah, no, it just, listen to commercials, try to read them, try to emulate them, you know, those kinds of things. It's groovy that you watch anime all day, but if you're not in Dallas or LA, you're not going to do much. if any.
And you were talking about the reed and how your reed is very musical and very. Can you emphasize on that, like, special sauce that you when you're talking about how
you? Well, if you make it if you make it sound awful like that, no. Okay, I will. And the reed is across all boards. Now, this is a lot of people will say it's the. What's Dave Walsh's Trutel? Is that it, Dave Walsh's? I think that's it sounds right, something like that. True, yeah. Something. If it's not Trutel, I think it's like. And Dave's fantastic. You know, if you definitely,
great.
Yeah, he's awesome sauce. And if you can get up to a point where you're ready for him, then definitely give it a shot. But you gotta be good for sure. Same way with like JMC and some of these other coaches and stuff. Well, if you can get him, JMC. Yeah, Jay's cool. Jay's my he was my first coach. I'd been working for 9 months. I was full time, you know. Vicky found him because this is funny because I was in a vacuum. I did everything wrong from what you can hear that I've told you. I didn't have any coaching. I made all my own demos, and for some weird reason, I was able to just start from the from day six and never stop. And just go like this and keep going. So I'd been working solidly, pulling in, 20, 30 something jobs a month, doing very well, and just kept going up monetarily. It just kept getting better and better and better. And so about 9 months in, Vicky found JMC and said, I think it's time for you to get a coach, see what you're doing wrong or something like that. Vicky said, because we didn't know. And so I got with JMC and I sent him some work. He had a fill out thing, or he asked me. I did his little web form, and he wrote me back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I sent him my stuff, and he said, yeah, I'll coach you, like 10 minutes later after that or whatever. So he jumped right on it. So he recognized it. He recognized that I had a read. Early on, but we didn't know that. Vicky and I didn't know. I didn't sound, I didn't have a beautiful voice in the terms of classically or whatever. But Jay recognized it, and he recognized that I had my own thing. He called it, in his words, not mine, but he called it effortless hipness in my read. It was just a smooth, cool guy next door, friendly, warm. Sounds like he knows what he's talking about, but he's also the guy that you want to hang with and chill out with and have a beer with and that kind of thing.
Have a
non-alcoholic beer with, have lots of bourbon. So the greatest thing he did for me was, great demos. I still book off that commercial demo, the first read on my commercial demo. And I helped write the spot. Actually, it was my idea. And then he fleshed it out. And so I was proud of that as well. But my first read, you can go on my website, is my first commercial read. It starts out, I live for my craft. That's the one. And I book off that all the time. And so that's a really great thing. But more invaluable than that was my first session with him. He said, yeah, you got it. You got the pipes, you got the read, you got it. We'll work out some kinks. We'll help you understand e-learning and corporate narration a little better and get you on that. And you'll improve with time over that. But he said, yeah, no, you're world-class. You're the real thing. And that went, all doubt went out of my head. And I had, that to hold on to. So even though I had already been working full time for all that time, I didn't know. Because what you don't know, you didn't know. Mm-hmm. I went to VO Atlanta for the first time on his behest. He said, we said, is this any good? He said, yeah, definitely. It's good. And so we booked it like a week later. We were there 2 weeks later. It was like 2 weeks before it. And he was the first VO I met. I saw him across the room and he saw me and I looked at him and he was like, hey, and he gave me a hug, shook my hand, turned me around to Vicky and said, take care of him. He's got a bright future. And then he went off doing JMC stuff because we didn't know each other that well at the time. And I'd only been in one class with him at that point. So we're looking around and because everyone seemed to know each other, lots of theater kids, they meet people very easily. And I'm a little more shy, believe it or not. So we were sitting back and Vicky and I were just kind of like, wow, everybody here must be really pro. And I went in my first class and they were like, this is a microphone. It plugs into an audio interface. And we were like, holy shit, we might be more advanced than these people. and then we started talking to people and they're like, so, you know, how long have you been in it? I'm like, oh, a year. How about you? And it's like, oh, like 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, cool. So, you know, you book a lot or nah, I've never done a job. And it's like, well, really?
Have you been doing this for 2 years?
I'm
doing this.
Well, that's the thing. There were a lot of people that hadn't done it. And they just, you know, again, it just woke up one day and went, you know what? Voiceover, you know, or they heard something or whatever, or saw that damn movie. I know that voice. Right. That pretty much started the deluge of everyone thinking they were going to be Don John DiMaggio, you know.
Right.
But no, I love the movie as well. But I haven't watched it in years. I think maybe the last time I watched it, it might have been like in my first 6 months of VO, and I don't think I've ever watched it since. I'd be interested to go watch it because now I know some people in there, like, well, you know, right, like they're friends, you know. So yeah. It's wild. People would come up and they're like, you know, so are you think you're gonna do this, you know, is, and I'm like, yeah, I'm already doing it. And what? And it's like, yeah, I do this full time. And so that helped us as well, you know, helped me as well, just get that gain that confidence. All that kind of stuff. But the read, I think, is what you did. We answer the Nashville question why I came out here. It's, yeah, to do.
You did. It was a mix of things of both. LA was somewhere you wanted to be, and also that the jobs were out there, and you, yeah, you went over that whole thing. You even went over your budgeting process about it.
No, I actually came to LA after the London trip. We went in 2018 to go over there to Rachel Naylor's Above and Beyond in London. That was awesome because we had a lot of Brit friends that we had met. And then not long after that, we went to Sovis, you know, like a month later here. And it was the first time we ever went to LA. And I hated it. It was god awful. And we stayed on Hollywood Boulevard. Don't ever do that. It was awful and dirty and smelly and terrible and hot and bleak. And then we found our place where I'm at now in the mountains. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. I love my little area. It just makes me so happy, you know, and anytime I have to go down into LA, I get sad because I don't like LA. But it's all right up here. There's mountains and, you know, it's different. It's just a different place. I mean, I love going to the studios. I got to go back in a studio for the first time since COVID, and I booked a bucket list thing. I'm a main character in something. I can't say anymore. And apparently it's going to be like tons of sessions to do. I've got another session coming up on Tuesday and it came out of nowhere.
Dubbing?
No, okay. No. I booked it on Tuesday. I booked it on Tuesday. They had me in on Wednesday. And that's another thing, guys, and folks, people. If you can be that person for them when they say, oh shit, we have an opening. Can you? Yes, I can. Not yes, I can do a, you know, ancient Sumerian accent if you can't. But I mean, if they say, can you be available? If you can do it, not like, well, you know, I was going to watch Netflix. Don't do that. Because if you can do something for them and help them, again, you're there to facilitate them, help them. And you know, the more you do that, man, the more you get friends and people that will be like, let's get Andrew or Jason. That those guys are awesome, you know, they're such a help, and we can call them last minute, and then, you know, if they can make it work, they will. So always be solving people's problems. So huge. But no, yeah, I don't love LA, but I love where I'm at now, and I wanted to come out here to do video games and anime and cartoons and stuff. Interesting story, my first time in a studio, it was for anime. It was for Scissor 7. Mm-hmm. Daibo, that's me, on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's amazing. It's not very anime-ish. Even Vicky loves it. It's really, really funny. Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show is the main character. In point of fact, I'm the only person in there that's not a name. All the rest of them are pretty much names. But that was the first thing I booked. I did the audition before I left Nashville, 2 days before I left, and I booked it 3 days after I got there. 6 days after I was in LA, I was in the studio recording Die Ball, main character on an anime show on Netflix. Yeah. So that, yeah. And I remember writing my agent saying, I'm going to be there in like a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, or should I just not do this one? The agent went over to the people casting it, said, he's going to be there. Do you want to hear him? And he was like, yeah, we want to hear some new blood on this. Booked him. And yeah, amazing. I've done 3 seasons now, and Daibo is absolutely one of my favorite characters that I've done. So
did awesome. You have any dubbing training before you started hopping into the dubbing world?
Well, I was a drummer.
Gosh, yeah, okay. So the musicality kind of...
I was a drummer since I was 4. So yeah, my rhythm is, I come at things from a rhythmic perspective, and I play by ear. I'm not very good at reading music, but I can play anything by ear. I can play a song with you, as long as it's not, Spirit of the Radio by Rush, that many changes and meter change. If you just want to play blues, I'll play it all day long, or rock and roll, or hip hop, or R&B. I can play any song on drum set that you want to play, just about, so I just had that ability. And so dubbing for me was just timing.
That's actually why I, now with drums, I've started trying to play on a 7 beat. So that way I can try to get that mathematical tone, because playing on 7s is ridiculously difficult.
Mm, yeah. Any of that's good. Yeah. Well, I definitely come at it from a groove feel thing rather than a math thing, but yeah, if it was math, I would. But no, I can hit the lip flaps, and I'm good at timing. They want it 2% faster, or you need to pick up at the end. The thing that's weird about dubbing and anime and stuff like that is, and live action, of course, is that it's in another language. So they put pauses in weird spots, not weird spots, but different spots than English. Mm-hmm. In Spanish they might go and it may not work that way in English. If you say I'm going to the store, and then I'm going to get some broccoli, and then get some fries, and all this sort of thing, it doesn't work in English. So you have to be able to speed up the front end, slow down the center section, and then throw off the rest. With live action, it's even tougher. Because you have to get the breaths
and the nuances of like how their mouths move.
Nasal exhale. Mm-hmm. You have to put those. You never do that in anime. Those kinds of things. There's all those little, inhale with the teeth. It's you're really acting. You have to go in and kind of drive their body. And you have to get it. So that's fun. I mean, it can be a little annoying. If it's really a weird performance, and sometimes sometimes they can also be a little hammy, and I'm not, casting aspersions, but it can be very theatrical. So mm-hmm. for someone that's more chill and calm like me in that respect, and my manner of speaking, it can be very funny to hear me get theatrical on something. so it's fun. I mean, it's for me, I do enough different varied stuff that it at the end of the day, it's all talking into a mic and doing a lot and a lot and a lot of engineering and typing. I have an office job with a mic in front of it. That's right. I mean, truly, that's what we do, us, not necessarily, Jess Arnell or Tara Strong. They're a studio musician. They go in and do the thing. I mean, if they do stuff from home, that's cool, but I seriously doubt that they're on Voices 1, 2, 3 or something.
Right.
But
those the projects that you get most excited about, is the video game and animation?
Oh yeah, but I like e-learning. I do like VR training for things like that. Yeah. I train I've trained doctors and nurses and pharmaceutical reps and all those kind of things. So that can be interesting. I've taught about diesel truck engines and airplanes and putting together airplane engines and even how to climb a ladder. I did a whole thing on climbing a ladder the proper way. And I learned how to climb a ladder the proper way. I didn't realize
that. You need your internal forever student. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of interesting. I mean, it's not as interesting as the cooking stuff I've done. That's really fun. Learning how to make bechamels and all the French pronunciation, the mise en place, you know, I didn't know that. And it's useful. I never did mise en place. And it's like, yeah, you should have everything out that you need before you start. Don't start on one and then go run into the fridge to get the other thing. You know, have it all ready, you know, otherwise the shit burns, the stuff burns, and then you're
all timing.
It's pretty fun. I do want to get back to the read. Yeah. What is the read? Like Dave Walsh's True Tell or the authentic, believable, realistic, all those buzzwords and catchphrases for making a conversational or a believable or authentic read. What is the read? It's across everything. Everything has the read. You've heard commercials that sound stilted and stunted and they don't really know what they're saying, or, you know, or it's just a bad read. The cadence is weird. It doesn't work. Having a great voice doesn't save you. You have to have a read too. You can work with a beautiful voice, but I know you've heard someone with a beautiful voice on TV and the read's bad, or the read's not as good as it could be. Mm-hmm. It's all about the read. It doesn't matter if you're reading stereo instructions, an audio book, a commercial, a video game character, any of the rest of it. Do not be stiff and unbelievable. That's the read. And you have to know that you can get in there sight unseen, read in one take, except for maybe a mess up here or there, and nail it. I can do that. That's why I work. You know, it sounds like this or whatever, but after almost six years of doing this and hearing the amount of auditions I do and all the things like that, I know that I can sit down and read something. I mean, all but the most obtuse stuff. I mean, and there are things that it's like, we want really conversational and comedic. And it's like 99-cent burger, you know, with stereo instructions. And it's like, I don't know how to make that funny, but okay, you know, I'll do my best. And you just have to have that ability and confidence where it's the same, you can deliver the same performance, reliability. You have to have that. And if you don't have that, or you're questioning whether you have that, you're listening to it right now going, I wonder if I, then practice. Get more coaching, practice, listen, and get yourself to a point where you can do like I did before I started. In those 3 months where I was practicing and listening to Bill DeWeese and all that kind of thing, we were also going to DPN and voices.com and Fiverr, and we were listening to demos, reels of male voice actors. And I was listening to them. What's my competition? What are these guys doing? You know, I didn't really listen to women because they're not my competition, really, you know. Right. So I listened to other men. And as I was listening, I was like, I can do that. I can damn sure do that. I'm way better than that. And so I started to get a confidence. And a lot of people go, oh, you competitive asshole. You know, you know, it's not about that. And it's like, it is about that a little bit. You have to have that desire to try to do well. And it's not that I listened to him and it's like, I hope they die. I hope they, you know, it wasn't that kind of competitive, but it was competitive in that I need to rise to their level and above. I need to be better than them, or I need to be at least as good as them. And I listened all the way up the ladder. I mean, to the tippy tippy, the top of most of the pop of most. And I was like, holy shit, I can do that. You know? And I listened. And I mean, for me, a big one is Jess Harnell. You know, I loved Jess Harnell.
Yeah.
I thought he was super awesome for one role in particular. And I know it is certainly not a very good show to reference, but he, in Drawn Together, he played a character named Captain Hero. And it had Tara Strong and Cree Summer, and you know, and it was a raunchy body show. It was rough. I don't know that it would really get made these days, but it was still, his abilities were incredible. So I found out, and he was one of the first voice actors that I wanted to know who it was. And so I looked it up, and when I saw who it was, I was like, that's Jess Harnell, you know, because I mean, he is a very, Jess Harnell.
He's in a band with Chuck Duran. Like he's a big cowboy hat, rocker looking. Yeah.
Curly hair. Yeah.
Long curly hair. Looks like the lead singer of, what's it called?
Any of them. Yeah. But he,
Coheed and Cambria.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, he's not as puffy, but yeah, he's got the curly.
Same curls.
But, I thought his performance as Captain Hero was so top shelf and amazing. And Tara Strong, too. She did Princess Clara, and also Toot. And they were so different. And I was amazed at her ability to do those two different ones. And of course, Cree Summers, Foxy Love. They were all amazing. Jess being the dude, you know, I'm not going to aspire to be Tara Strong, you know? Right. So I went and I looked him up and it was really cool. Very small little tidbit here. It was just hilarious. When we were in London, we got off the train at Camden, walked smack into Jess frickin' Harnell. And I looked at Vicky and I was kind of like, hey, is that Jess Harnell? And Vicky was like, so I was like, that's Jess Harnell, because Vicky's much better at knowing whether someone, I've gotten it wrong many times. Is that? And she's like, no, that's Jace. That's a stranger. You don't know that person. And I'll be like, hey, how you doing? That's good to see you, friend. And they're like, you know? So yeah, I'm terrible at that. So I had to check with her and she was literally like a fish, you know, and I was like, okay, that's, and I went, Jess. And he turned around. And I got to meet Jess Harnell in London, of all places, you know, and I was one of 100 that would know who the hell he was, you know, I mean, this is several years ago, you know, he's well known, but it's not like he's a household name,
right?
You know, but we knew who he was and, you know, we shook his hand and he was like, you got a cool voice, man. And I was like, yay. You know. But so I listened to all of them, and yes, I listened to Jess Harnell and I listened to what he did. And I said, I can do that. I can do that. He's doing some stuff. He's got a different voice print in some ways, some things he's doing that, you know, that I wouldn't maybe be as good at, but I can definitely do that. I think I'm better than that one. And, you know, and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's a big balls move. You know,
why I listen to Chuck Duran's show, because I can both hear how they're creating their demos and creating their characters and et cetera. And then I can see what they're doing physically in the booth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's totally cool. I listened to some of Chuck Duran stuff back in the day and any of that. Yeah. But you know, go listen to other VOs, you know, if you don't know, you have a read or whatever, and listen to mine, pick me apart. If you think you can take me, go for it, you know, knock yourself out. I mean, you know, go for it. I hope you can. I don't mean that to sound as challenging as it is, but it is a challenge in the way of like, if you want to climb and you want to do the thing, man, go listen to them, go listen to who the people that you're going to, I mean, you could be, I'm friends with everybody, you know, Paul Cartwright and I loved it. We were teasing each other before I got on with you. And I told him, I'm like, he's going to interview me longer because I'm way more interesting than you are, you know.
Or you just talk more.
I still have cooler stories, you know. He's just like, I'm an actor, and I'm like, I was in London with Jess Harnell, fool. No, I'm kidding. No, Paul's my buddy. I love that guy.
I love Paul Carey. He's a great guy.
Yeah, we hit it off immediately.
The only thing is, you can't take him out for a drink because he doesn't drink.
No, but I just drink in front of him and he just hangs in there, you know, and now I don't really even drink, you know, that much. I'll just have a drink, but I'll have a shit ton of non-alcoholic beers. I'll drink 100 of those, but no, you guys get the read, man, get the read, work on it, kick ass and practice and listen to yourself, read out loud. Don't be afraid of your own voice. And I don't know. I mean, that's the read. It sounds simplistic, but if you say you got to have the read, people are like, what's that? It just means you have to be able to deliver the written word in a spoken way, in a spoken form that is listenable. For lack of a better word, it needs to be listenable, you know? And the more niche you are, I mean, if you're rest him now, but Gilbert Godfrey, if you, you know, you can work if you have that delivery, mm-hmm. but you're not going to, you know, they're not going to have you read romance novels or something. I mean, it would be quite jarring, I should think. But, you know, so try not to be too niche. Try to, that doesn't mean branch out. See, there's exceptions to everything. This is why it's so hard.
Right.
But you want to be as broad as you can be. If that's only one, if you have a super deep voice and you are James Earl Jones and that's it, don't waste your time auditioning for a 19-year-old anime guy. You're not going to get it. Don't, you know, just try to be as realistic as possible. I had a casting director on a training session, like a Zoom session. I'd worked with him on a couple of things. And so he used me as his example boy in his thing, because all the other ones were a lot of new people, but I just took it because I booked it so long before. And I just wanted to hear what he would say. You know, I was curious, you know, what, you know, whatever. And he kept using me as an example and he kept talking about it, and I learned something about myself. Cause he was like, and he got really demonstrative because he's kind of a very demonstrative guy. So he was like, you know, I'll take Jace for comedy any day, you know, good luck beating Jace with comedy. And it was just like, oh Jesus, dude, you're going to make me have fights with these people, you know? But, he then said something very interesting. He said, would I book Jace for Batman? Never. But Iron Man all day long. And I was like, at first I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Because you think I could never be a superhero. Cause I think that I don't have a deep enough voice. You know, I don't, that again, they're never going to book. I don't have that epic voice for Superman. They're not going to hire me for Superman, but Iron Man. Yeah. I'm good at comedy. I'm great at improv. I always improv. I'm funny. You know, I do these things. I have great timing, again, the rhythmic thing, but also the comedic timing. I book comedy stuff all the time, you know? So it's like, hell yeah, you can be a superhero, but you got to be the right one. You know, it's not just Batman and Superman. There's other superheroes, you know, Green Lantern is quippy, and not Green Lantern, Green Arrow guy. I got his name right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those quippy ones are great for me. I can do the Deadpool or something, you know, you don't have to, you know, I can do that all day long. So I'm not going to be Batman. Iron Man is pretty cool too, you know?
Yeah.
So know who you are and be honest with yourself. You know, seriously. And don't chase a bunch of stuff that's not gonna, you know, accents. If you think you can do an accent, go take an accent class with a native of that language or a native of that. You know, I understand there's all kinds of dialect experts. And if you go, and I'm not shitting on, I'm not trying to, but if you go online and look at these things, this is how you do this accent. Look at the comments first. And if it's all the natives going, bollocks, you know, this is crap, you know, go find a legitimate one. Watch movies with legitimate British accents. If you know, it's always British. Everybody wants to do British. Yeah. I studied with a lady that's from the Royal College over there, and I studied with her for a while, and she really got my, it's all about linking the words and vowels and getting the mouth positioning right. And I got way better working with her, and I booked a BMW commercial in British, in a British accent. So I know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not lying. You know, you got to make sure you put in the work. Have I conveyed that? Work and practice and hard work and practice and hard work and be realistic with yourself. Yeah. I swear I'm going to get like a staff and my little tablets, and they're just going to say the read and work underneath. I feel like I'm proselytizing. I was going to say prophesizing. That's not right.
Prophesizing. So I mean, with you going from music to, I mean, you book quite often, and a lot of that's long form. What do you do to take care of your vocal cords?
I was a singer, so I did all the vocal warm-up stuff. And nowadays, because I'm not a real yeller, if I have to do, like, for Chivalry 2, that had a lot of yelling. If I'm going to do a game that I know is going to have a lot of yelling like that, and boy, does that have a lot of yelling. Holy shit. Oh my goodness. You know, 400 lines of yells.
Jesus.
Multiple takes. Yeah. So 800 lines of yells. with that, I go back and I'll do my vocal warm-ups from there. But most of the time, I just kind of warm up naturally a little, you know, might maybe a little, you know, but I don't do extensive.
Well, are there like dietary things you do or things you do throughout the day other than, of course,
I keep getting asked this.
A lot of water. Well, I mean, you do a lot of work, and a lot of that is long form. That is a lot of time in the booth. And from experience, I know how much that dries you out.
Yeah, I guess I just, you know, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 3 receptacles of liquid in here right now. So yeah, I guess I drink a lot. I don't really think about it too much. I mean, the whole yelling point was, is that you don't, and in point of fact, getting your thing across, you don't want to, this Saturday, do this kind of thing for every, I don't read that way. I mean, I read as I'm talking right now. It's this more kind of, you know, as JMC said, effortless hypnosis. So I read calm and intimately. And, you know, when you have to bark it, you do bark it. But I think for the most part, I don't smoke. Nothing. I don't smoke weed. I don't smoke cigars. Nothing like that. And I try to get as much rest as I can. Sometimes my voice is more tired than others. I don't know that I do. I don't drink caffeine very much. I mean, just the little coffee water in the morning or whatever. But yeah, I don't know that I do go out of my way so much. I mean, I eat the food. I eat whatever food I can get my hands on because I'm a piglet. But no, I guess a lot of water. And you know, if you're starting out, then get a vocal warm-up thing. Shelly Kristen is the one that I've used for over a decade. I don't know if she has anything that I think you have to get a CD if you can even still get them. I don't know that she's ever done anything else, but it's just you know, the, and then she has, you know, chords, you know, doing the notes, mm-hmm. you know, arpeggios and stuff.
Right.
And I'll do that if I have to do, you know, like Chivalry 2 or something. If it's going to be just a ass buster, then I'll do that. But I guess it's because for so many years I did, I would do an hour warm up in the morning, every morning on the way to work and all that. I think I just kind of train my voice all right, so I don't really worry about it as much. Oh. I guess.
So what about outside of the booth? Like, what are things that Jace Patrick enjoys?
Nothing. It just, I don't. There's.
What are your it's hobbies?
All.
What do you?
It's, I mean, it's all.
What do you do in the mountains then? What do you just stare up at the stars or like?
I stare at roses in abject exhaustion every day like this after lunch. It's not
like this, but I can't see you.
it's far off. You can't see me?
No, you haven't been on video this entire time, man.
Oh my god, really?
I thought that was on purpose.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you were talking about how you didn't want to be up. You kept going, and when it goes like this, and then you know, things go like this, and I was like. He said he didn't want to do video. Is he aware that he's not on video? Yeah, no.
I was being a good boy and being on video this whole time, I thought. Okay, start over.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just redo the last hour and a half.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I thought it was recording. I am an idiot, apparently. Don't listen to anything I say because I can't even turn on a damn camera. What do I do? We've been working on the house a lot, and mainly that's about it. I go to the gym. I've been kind of bad about it in the last couple of weeks. I need to get back to it. I joined a basketball league, and I am terrible. I used to be pretty okay, and now I'm awful. I got my dogs, Seamus and Jack. They're both in here sleeping. I like to cook. I like to cook one meal a week. That's nice meal, like a nice steak or a nice prosciutto wrapped stuffed chicken or something, okay. Or pork loin roast or duck breast. I love making duck breast with cherry sauce. So oh yeah. So Yeah. I can't believe I've not been on camera this whole time.
Yeah, I kept hearing like implications of visuals. So I was like,
I've been being very smiling, and it, like, my face hurts from smiling. It's all for naught.
All for naught.
Okay. Yeah. After lunch, I get up in the morning. Now, an ideal day, I'll get up in the morning, I'll do an hour before the gym. Then I go to the gym, come back, do several hours, eat, go out on the patio, the porch, and look at the flowers and the mountains and listen to the, because right around 1 o'clock, 1:30 or two, there's some, like the trade winds blow or something. It's got a name. It's like the Santa Ana winds or something like that, but it happens every day, just about, usually without fail. And it'll blow for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or however long. And the trees are kind of, they have these leaves that kind of are a little musical in the air. And so they just kind of blow around, and it's really, really the way the sun hits as it goes down at night, especially the parts of the trees closest to me will be in shade, but then the sun is coming through. So some of the tree, so the same tree will be partly shade, partly light, shade and light. And the beams, the rays come streaming through, and it's blowing. So it's really this golden, beautiful, hypnotic thing. And I look at my roses. We're on all the socials together, right? We follow each other. So you've seen the pictures I'm talking about, absolutely. The roses. And, and then you've seen the dog, Seamus and Jack. And so I play with my dogs. I look in my gardens. I work in my gardens when, you know, on weekends when there's time. I try to play a little bit of video games. Like, for me, I love Hearthstone. You know, I know Blizzard's kind of Blizzard Activision is in a little bit of trouble right now for, you know, not nice stuff, but I try to remember that it's made by people who love the games as much as I do, you know, so I try not to, you know, be too political with those kinds of things, but I really love that game because it works my mind. Because I feel like what we do is you do use your mind, but you also get in a rut, you know, you're kind of in a samey, except for, you know, offshoots of anime or video game or, you know, but even those can kind of sometimes start to be rather similar. You start to see similar ideas. You know what I mean? It's not like every time you get something, it's completely out of left field. You know, you kind of get a sameness. And Mark Grau was alluding to that with you on your podcast. He's talking about doing it for 48 years or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you pretty much kind of start to see the same sort of thing. So when you do as many auditions and things as I do, that you kind of do get in a bit of a samey, you know, roughly. I mean, there's some topography, but you know what I mean. So for me, getting out and seeing the sky and the wind and stuff, it's really good for me, I've found.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did that end? I don't know that those are really hobbies. Oh no, I was talking about Hearthstone. Hearthstone makes you think, because it's kind of like it's a card game. It's like chess or something. You have to be able to change on the fly. You know, it's like, oh, I'm gonna do this and kill. Oh no, shit, they messed that up. Now I have to rethink everything quickly. You know, so I really enjoy that. And I think Blizzard makes really, really good games. I've played them ever since I was a little kid, you know, so. Yeah,
absolutely.
But, yeah.
Are you ready for the question that you've been dreading?
Okay, well, it's time to go, so.
If you could write a letter to yourself back when you were making your music to VO transition from where you sit now, what would
that be? That one's easy. That's not scary at all. That's just do it. You're doing it anyway. It wouldn't matter what I said anyway. So just do it. You're going to kick ass. But if I had said that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have had that question for the first 9 months of, am I doing it right? Which was useful. I was still doing it because I didn't give a damn. There was no, out of my cold, dead hand, would you have taken it away from me? You know, as a fun little, joke, little religious joke, and I'm not religious or anything, but I think I saw it on a movie or something, or heard it when I was a kid, because I'm from Nashville, so there's a lot of religion there, you know. But it's a funny joke nonetheless. It's there's a flood, and this couple goes up onto the roof to avoid being flooded away. Do you know this one? Mm-mm. Okay. So a canoe goes by and says, come in. We have room for two more. We can save you. And they say, no, no, save someone else. God will save us. So the canoe goes away to go save somebody else. Later, a motorboat comes by. Water's rising at this point, you know. And they're like, come on, come on. We have room for two more. And they say, no, no, go save someone else. God will save us. Motorboat goes away. Water is nearly dragging them off. They're hanging on for dear life. And a helicopter comes. And they drop down the ladder, the rope ladder. And they say, come on, we've got room for two more. And they say, no, no, save someone else. God will save us. So they promptly drown and die. They go up to heaven. And they're like, why didn't you save us? And God says, I sent a canoe, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more do you want? What I like about that joke is, for me, the helicopter came, I grabbed Vicky, I grabbed the rope ladder, and never let go. And the animals. And that was how it felt for me. And that's how it feels for me. So when you're judging me for being harsh, not you particularly, I think you understand where I mean, but some of you out there are going, Jace is an asshole and he's really mean and he's not, you know, he's not soft and warm and all the rest of it. But I tell you this, all my life, I fought to try to make something work in music, and I did okay, but I didn't make a living, and, you know, it was not my path. So when this other thing came and I found out that I was actually, or I thought I was good at it, you know, even then I was like, I think I can do this pretty well. When the opportunity presented itself, I held on to it. So I take this deadly seriously. This is my thing. And again, out of my cold, dead hand, will you pry this? You know, I mean, it's like, I will always work hard. I will always try to strive. I will continue to learn. And you know, if you want it, you know, maybe if you have another gig, or, you know, you have a degree in something or whatever, and it's kind of like, yeah, I really want to do the voiceover thing because I want to be famous or something, you know, number one, good luck with that. You know, it's not really a fame thing. I mean, you can get some Twitter smoke, but for the most part, I mean, if you saw, you know, whomever walking down the street, you wouldn't know who they were, you know, but it's, you have to have that dedication to do it. I think you have to take it seriously. It is a job. It is your livelihood. And if you want to succeed, man, you got to take it seriously. And for me, there's no going back. I mean, I can't tell you I have some skills. I could get an office job, I'm sure. But, you know, would I want to go back to that and then go be under that yoke again and not be my own boss? I mean, I got free. Once you get free, it's like, you never want to go back, you know? So that's, for me, that's what that joke means. It's funny and we laugh about it, and it's got the religious note, but if you take that out, it's like, there were no boats coming for me. It's just all of a sudden there was this leap of faith, you know, kind of thing. And I did it, and it's uniquely mine in music. You know, my dad was a pro musician, you know, so if I had made it like that, there always would have been the question of like, oh, did your dad nepotism, you know? No, nobody helped me with this. You know, it was like Vicky said, here's a website, look at it. I did. And I built this up on my own. I didn't have an agent. Nobody helped me. You know, I did all my own stuff. You know, I had my engineer just help me try to make the demo sound okay, but I wrote them, I produced them, I voice acted them and all the rest of it. So you can do this on your own. I don't suggest it. Use the available tools that I didn't know existed. You know, I went and I looked at YouTube videos, you know, basically built a house off in YouTube videos. So it can be done, but you got to work, man. So, and take it seriously, you know, take it seriously. You don't have to be like mean competitive with other people, but definitely measure yourself and use a measuring stick. It's all right. They did it too, I guarantee you. You know, whether they say they did or they didn't, they heard somebody else and they're like, questioned, am I that good? You know, can I do that? Everybody does. It's human nature, right? I think.
And speaking of those amazing demos that you've created, where do people find those?
I don't know if they're still around. I don't think they're on my website anymore. Now it's all replaced with real work, and it wasn't bad. I mean, if you go back, it kind of sounds like me. You can tell that in some cases it might have been a little more hammy, or it might have been a little less sure. the confidence would be the real thing. But I mean, some of them were really silly because I wrote them myself and I thought, well, why not make them silly? So I would do a commercial like, you know, get your ostrich polisher for only $9.99, you know, just something ridiculous like that. I don't know why I would have chosen ostrich polisher because it's very hard to say without running it together like I just did. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think they were that bad, but they probably weren't very good.
Well, where can people find you and your work?
My work and stuff. Well, I did some other things. Like I made a YouTube show. I don't know what's up now. There might be like 23, 25 episodes. And I did, it's called Miscast, or When Voice Acting Goes Wrong, Miscast. And it's about commercial reads. And if you've got the worst person to read something, and just miscast them, you just got the worst person you could possibly get to read your spot, like completely wrong.
That's hilarious.
It's actually rather funny, I thought, and I made it for the VO community. I made it for us to laugh at because I thought it would be an inside thing. And weirdly, it's been a lot of kids that liked my video game characters and my anime work that like it. VOs largely didn't really get into it, which is strange. And I'm just like, well, I made this. This is for you.
I made this for you.
This is supposed to be funny for you. This is your bathroom material, you know. Right. But, you know, it's just, you know how people are anymore. It's, you know, we're the same way. I got to watch this cat video. Okay, there's a basketball dunk I need to see. Okay, everything is micro bits. And these are a little longer. Some of them are long, but not all of them. But we did real makeup. Like I have prosthetics on, and you bring in this bad character, this character that should not be reading your thing, you know. Like there's this drunken old Irishman, and he's reading for O'Doul's, which I still think is funny.
That is hilarious.
But the other thing is they don't read the spot. They start doing, like, if you got a terrible voice actor for the job, but then they're just a bad voice actor in the sense that all they do is talk to the director, you know, the earphones aren't working right, you know, just they go in and tell their life story and shit. And so, like, this,
they start touching the microphone.
Yeah, it's just awful stuff. There's nothing really abrasive like that, but it's just them being obnoxious. If you brought in someone and they were completely and totally awfully obnoxious, and it's all improv. So it's just me. I sat down. Vicky wrote the script to make it sound like a real script because she's got a marketing background. I tried to write the scripts and I couldn't do it because I was writing the jokes in as I went. So when you got there was nothing there. I couldn't riff off it because I already knew what was coming, you know? Or I couldn't riff off it as well, I should say. So when she wrote them and I didn't look at the script and I got it cold and I just go through and riff, you know, I'd try to read the thing and, you know, and I love the old Irish guy, and I had him have a milky blind eye and, you know, he, completely old skin with liver spots, and the makeup is top notch. Everything looks really, really, really real. And so he's this old Irishman and he's bitching about O'Doul's, you know, why would you drink O'Doul's, a non-alcoholic beer? Where are you from? California. You know, I knew O'Doul's when he was in high school. He was a wanker then and he's a wanker now. You know, so just that kind of thing, you know, and I just love the idea of him knowing who O'Doul's was and they hated each other, you know, so I played off that and just whatever came to mind, you know, and it just ridiculous stuff like that. And then there's the evil villain and he's reading about, I don't remember what the hell he's reading about. And there's a, just all kinds of stuff. There's a guy that's very Keith Richards like, which was really fun. You know, he was barely intelligible because, you know, I had on like it looked a little more like a Rod Stewart's guitar player from The Faces. He was in Ronnie Wood. Yeah, so he looked a little more Ronnie Wood, but you know, I made him he's a bit drunk the whole time he's talking like this. So it's very Keith Richards and he's just mumbling and whatever and taking drugs the whole time he's talking, drinking, you know, and I is just nuts, you know, but he's trying to read a spot and you can just imagine the director behind, you know, they booked this guy, they're trying to get the spot, but they can't get it because this guy's, you know, will not behave himself. So that's on YouTube and you can watch all that. And then you can see like my JoJo, Thunder McQueen, you can see some of that, and Dynamike for the Brawl Star kids out there. And of course, Scissor Seven, Daibo, and other video games I've done, and Chivalry 2, I put in, you know, highlight reels of stuff like that. But the miscast thing is fun for you voice actors. If you, yeah, if you watch it just for entertainment, you don't have to, or you can look at it and go, I can do that, you know? So if it gives you that boost, then do it, you know? But, and of course, you know, I'm on Insta and Twitter, and just, I'm the only Jace Patrick out there, J-A-S Patrick. So I, you know, if you Google me, you'll find all my stuff.
Right. Well, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Dude, it was fun.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Jace talk about his amazing journey from musician to voice actor, and how through dedication, determination, and pure drive, he took the entertainment industry by storm and continues to strive for new and amazing collaborations. If you'd like to know more about Jace and hear his amazing demos, you can see his stuff at www.jacepatrick.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.